All right, we've got our TSN Jays and baseball analyst Steve Phillips on the line. Go ahead.
Steve, Marcus Stroman probably has a question. He plays for an organization that makes a lot of money. He considers himself the ace, which he is the opening day starter. So his question to the organization, maybe you can answer, is why are you taking this guy to arbitration? Is it just because it's a tool that in management you have to use it? But he's thinking, I'm one of your best players. Why are you doing it to me?
Yeah, the arbitration process in and of itself is set up for a confrontation, right? I mean, it becomes a statistical comparison.
But why do they want to do it with him?
Well, they don't want to do it, but they have a policy. Look, the player has a role in this, right? I mean, the player has, you know, two sides participate in negotiations, and the Jays have a policy that says if you file numbers, we go to trial. And what that is, it's a motivation to get a deal done before filing numbers for arbitration, and understanding that if we do file, we're going to go to a hearing, we're going to have to battle it out. So both sides have a part in that. Now, I didn't have that philosophy. I didn't have that policy in place. So I would file, and sometimes you file a number if you think you're going to go to trial, which is a little bit higher from the team perspective because you want to be able to argue the midpoint. And if you move the midpoint up, you got a better case in it. Or sometimes you file the settle where you come in a little low, but you try to find some middle ground to get a deal done. And I always made a deal. I never took a player to arbitration, and yet I never overpaid. Never had anybody in the commissioner's office say, man, you went too far in this. No other team was upset by a deal. Now, the Jays aren't alone. A lot of teams have this policy, file and trial. But, the risk you run is this, that you alienate one of your star players, and that's unfortunately what they've done. Now, Stroman sort of backed off of that. And now it's talking multi-year deal, but it still feels like they're a bit of a ways away from not even coming close.
So today, Donaldson comes out with his comments about they're not even close, and he expects to go to free agency. What do you make of his comments?
Is
that basically something that's going to happen?
Yeah, I think that it's very likely going to happen, and I think both parties kind of knew it. Because if I were the Blue Jays and I really wanted to sign Josh Donaldson, mm-hmm. I would have made the offer in November to find out where we were to be able to say, okay, let's get him locked up so we can go out and try to sign some free agents for 3 and 4 years down the road. They didn't do that. They didn't even ask the question until last week or have the conversation about where are you with the kind of contract. And so what they did is they went out and signed a bunch of one-year options to play around Donaldson. I think the Blue Jays didn't want to ask any questions because they knew the answer. And the agent knew that the team was one of the analytics-driven clubs that doesn't believe that older players can get long-term contracts. And it was kind of an non-starter. What Donaldson said today was effectively that we're not really anywhere near it to get it going. And what that means is they didn't exchange dollars. What they asked was, how long of a deal are you looking for? And the agent said, well, what would you guys think was appropriate? Because it's up to the team to make the offer. And the team would say, yeah, you know what? Because he's going at 33, we're looking at probably a 3 or 4 year deal as an extension beyond this season. And the agent's going, yeah, we're looking at 6 or 7, maybe an 8 year deal. I know he's going to be 33. I know you think old guys fall off, but old guys aren't Josh Donaldson. And they'd sell the uniqueness of the player. And because they're at those extremes on the length of the contract, there's no reason to negotiate dollars because it's a non-starter. And I think that's effectively what Donaldson said. And Josh Donaldson sounded calm, cool, collected, unfrazzled by it at all. I mean, he seemed completely okay because I think there's been a level of acceptance for a while that the Jays weren't going to be able to get a deal done.
Do you not think for the organization, whatever the plan is going forward, whether it be a rebuild, retool, that Josh Donaldson should kind of be a part of the equation? I mean, and I know you don't care. I know as an organization, Steve, when you're a general manager, you don't care about Jeff O'Neill, the guy that goes to 3 games a year. But when I go, I want to see Josh Donaldson come to the plate because I want to I think he's one of the best players in the game, and I want to see him when I go there. Does that enter the minds of anybody in that position, or is it just if he wants a long-term deal, he's gone?
I think that it does enter their mind because they kept him for this year. Like a different organization in a different time and place would have traded Donaldson in this offseason and they would have started the rebuilding process a year early. But the Jays didn't do that because they do want to honor the fan base that has been showing up. If they can't sign Donaldson for the long term, they'll likely go into a what they hope will be a quick rebuild to get things turned around, let some of the young guys start to grow. They may trade Stroman and Sanchez and some of the players they have out of control, recoup what they can, go out and rebuild like, you know, there are 10 other teams doing right now, and come back to compete. And the way they look at it is this. We can come in last place with you. We can come in last place without you. So why spend $25 million on you if we're going to come in last place? We'd rather wait and spend the money when we're ready to compete than to spend money in years where we're going to get our heads kicked in.
With Steve Phillips here on Overdrive, I found it interesting that Donaldson was referencing how slow-moving this year's free agency has been. And he's obviously been studying it. He's obviously aware of it.
Well, the dollars, Brian, are almost, it's mind-numbing to look at them compared to last year.
They're nowhere close to where they've been in the past, relatively speaking. And I also think he understands that Harper and Machado are also coming up, and they're clearly going to be sought after more than Donaldson. As much as he's confident and he's a great player, he is. These are, I think, Harper's, what, 24, Machado's 26, Donaldson will be 33. So I'm curious to get your take on this, Steve. What do you think would scare him more this offseason and how long it's taken for some guys to get paid, and then you got a guy like J.D. Martinez who's still waiting, or the fact that he will be competing in a way next year with Machado and Harper?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think Donaldson's phased by this offseason. You know, and I've talked to a number of agents, and I know we're hearing a lot of rhetoric from players, and we're hearing a lot of propaganda out there, and people are pointing fingers, and well, what are the owners doing? What's happened this offseason is a perfect storm of a lot of things happening, where, you know, the luxury tax, everyone says, oh, luxury tax is a soft cap. Luxury tax has been in place since 1996, and now all of a sudden it's a soft cap, and it's not. It's just a year that because of the compelling nature of next year's free agent class, the Dodgers and Yankees want to get under the luxury tax number so that when they go over it next year, and they will, and that is the plan, they will, when they go over it next year, they will be considered a first-time offender instead of a multi-year offender, and it dramatically changes the penalties on it. The other thing is, like, Eric Hosmer is not a great player. And everybody, well, Eric Hosmer, well, you should turn around. No, just because you're the best free agent in an offseason doesn't mean you should get paid like the best players in the game. Eric Hosmer, his 25 home runs last year were ranked 18th among first basemen in baseball. He's a good player, not a great player. His home runs aren't going to go up dramatically leaving Kauffman Stadium because he has the fifth highest percentage of ground balls in baseball. And everyone talks about makeup. I'm not paying you millions of dollars because you're a nice guy and you can tweet. I want you to hit home runs. And he doesn't do that. And although he won a gold glove, the analytics say he's not a great defender. So, you know, J.D. Martinez is a really good offensive player. But he's an American League player. Cannot play in the National League. National League team said, you know what, I can take you for 3 years. But after that, you're already bad defensively. You're going to be horrible after 3 years. I can't carry you beyond that. So it was a non-starter for the deal. So I don't think Donaldson's phased at all by this year's Fraser class that it necessarily tells everything about money to be spent. His big challenge is going to be age. If he stays healthy all year, he can sell himself in a little bit stronger way. The only way the Blue Jays get him back is if they get him on a pillow contract. But he goes to free agency, he doesn't get what he wants, he's looking for a one-year landing spot. Maybe that's Toronto at that point. But I think that's, you know, like Batista did for the year, that's highly unlikely it's going to happen.
And as far as Donaldson going into that class next summer, I don't know if you agree with this, Steve, but I would think as a player he would almost welcome it because if some teams are in the chatter about getting a Machado or somebody like that, Donaldson could be a backup plan where they're like, we missed on that one, but we're going to get this guy instead. And as
Absolutely.
A player, that's kind of a good thing, obviously.
Yeah, here's the thing. Josh Donaldson is a much better player than Manny Machado. Look at the numbers. Look at the offensive numbers. Now, Machado's a better defender, but Donaldson's a good defender. But look at the offensive numbers. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. I think Donaldson's had 1 year worse than Machado's best year in his career. He's a much better offensive player. What's going to happen is Machado and listen, Machado and Donaldson have the same agent, which is going to be very interesting. Right? Dan Lozano represents both of them. Machado's going to look for a 12-year deal. He's 26. He's going to look for a 12-year deal. So is Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's going to want to try to get as close to $500 million as he can. Both guys will get 12-year deals with opt-outs after 3 years, 6 years, 9 years, whatever, to get out of the deal. And I honestly think that some team's going to get in on it and say, listen, we can take 12 years of Machado at $400-some million and assume that risk. We can do 5 or 6 years of Donaldson. I think Donaldson's going to have people playing in the six-year range on him next year. I really do. Don't be surprised if the Atlanta Braves and Alex Anthopoulos jump in on that.
With Steve Phillips, speaking of J.D. Martinez, it sounds as if he and the Red Sox are closing in on a deal. Those rumors have been out there for the longest time. I've been expecting it to happen at any point, and it does sound as if it's moving in that direction.
Let me put on my surprise face.
Well, you knew the Sox were going to do something, and they have, and they were the top team in the AL East a year ago. They flamed out in the playoffs. But you got the Sox who won a bunch of games and are still really good, the Yankees who won a bunch of games and are even better than they were last year. I mean, that's got to factor into the Donaldson conversation and the game plan for Shapiro and Atkins. I mean, I'm having a really difficult time trying to sell any Blue Jay fan on the idea that they can beat either one of those two teams in terms of the win column this year.
Yeah. The big question, two questions I have, is if they found out about Donaldson earlier, could they have shifted focus and direction? Could they have jumped in on J.D. Martinez and gone for a year of Donaldson, a year of J.D., let Donaldson walk, and then you got J.D. Martinez as your centerpiece offensive player to build around and keep going with this young core of pitchers? That was certainly a way they could have considered going in that direction, and you can keep winning. Or you get J.D. Martinez, you trade Donaldson in the offseason, then you go out there and get some other pieces for the $23 million you were paying Donaldson to, you know, scrub the wealth around the field and get some long-term value there. They didn't want to joke, so I really do think that they have a vision of the rebuild in Toronto. J.D. Martinez, you know, got to the point, and look, Scott Boras can scream and yell all he wants. J.D. Martinez is not a $200 million player. I thought he'd get 5 years and $120 million. That's what I thought he'd get this offseason. I didn't anticipate he's going to get. He wanted a seven-year, $30 million contract. He's not that kind of an offensive player. Or Jimmy can't play defense. So what happened was he ended up realizing, you know, you have to at some point evaluate the worst-case scenario. If the Boston Red Sox go away from J.D. Martinez, then J.D. Martinez was left with the Arizona Diamondbacks on what could be a 2 or 3 year deal. That's not anywhere close to the money that he wants. He's probably going to get about $60 million. The Red Sox go away from J.D. Martinez. They won 93 games last year without him. And they can go get Logan Morrison at 38 home runs, and they're going to be right in the middle of the American League East once again. And hopefully Scott Boras finally realized, telling J.D., I know I promised you, and I took you on as a client for this year, for this reason, I know I told you I'd get you $200 million. We're going to have to settle for about $110, $120. I'm sorry, but it was the right move to make a deal, and it's the right price for J.D. Martinez. Players aren't getting screwed. They're actually getting paid the way they should be based upon who they are, not based upon a market that Scott Boras set.
Thank you, Steve. Always appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
There's Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. Baseball is back, man. There's a lot going on.